Hello? Hello? Is there anybody here? Hey! Hey! Is anybody here? How are you?
I'm doing better.
I like the hat.
Oh, thank you. I made it.
Yes. It's like a...
It's a pumpkin.
Oh, is it? Okay, it's an orange beret.
Yeah, an orange pumpkin beret.
Orange beret. The kind you buy at a second... No, I can't remember. I don't know. What's that Prince's song, Raspberry Beret? Raspberry Beret.
Oh, yeah.
The kind you... Maybe I'm mixing songs.
Maybe.
Do you buy it at a secondhand store?
No, I made this.
No. Oh. I know you made it. Okay. Enough of this silliness.
Let's be serious, Mike.
Another podcast we did, you brought up a new band called the Heilung.
Yeah, Heilung.
Heilung band. It was I checked them out real quick, listened to a few beats. They're really cool sounding.
They're super cool.
Norwegian kind of thing, and that got me inspired. What we should do is highlight a different artist of a different medium of a different something at the beginning of all our shows.
Ooh, I like this idea.
I would love to say he's a friend of mine, but he's not. I've never met the guy. He shares our last name. Patrick Hicks is on TikTok.
Okay.
Anybody have an opportunity, check out his, he's probably on YouTube too, but he does these beautiful stories, these fantastic stories about musicians, mostly it's music, and he talks about this young man was born this, and he had a garage band, and he got kicked out, and blah, 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 and he goes through this arc, and then it ends up being like John Cougar Mellencamp, and you don't know it, and at the end, it's just like, holy cow, that's so cool.
That is cool.
You know, these famous people that are part of, like, super huge bands, but they failed with other bands.
Yeah.
You know, some guy got kicked out of, Nirvana.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this band, no, he quit Nirvana. This band's not going anywhere. It sucks. Then it turns into Nirvana.
Yeah.
And then he found belonging in like Five Inch Nails or Nine Inch Nails. You know, it's just, and something like that. So it's like this weird arc of musicians and stuff.
That's cool.
So I'm going to start today. And I chose this artist, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you a little arc of history of what I know about him.
Okay.
And if you can't guess it, at the end of this podcast, comment at the end of this pod, before I get to the end of the podcast, to find out if you know who I'm talking about. So, share us a comment on anything you know that you like of his work and whatever. So, I'm going to start out. Interesting, this famous person was born on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 1946.
Okay.
He was born in New York, Harlem, New York. He's quite well known for tap dancing. He went to school and he started tap dancing with his brother Maurice. He instigated and elevated and created a national tap dance day.
Ooh.
Okay. He debuted on Broadway in 1954 in The Girl in Pink Tights.
Oh.
He's won 5 Emmys, at least one Tony for Ubi. He's what else we got? He passed away in 2003.
Okay.
Okay. When during an interview, he talked about how he likes roles written for white actors because they had greater scope and dynamics.
Okay.
And nominated for SAG, Emmys, Tonys. And my last suggestion, or my last, I'm going to give a list of some of his movies. So obviously he was in Broadway and movies.
So is this like a singer or is this an actor?
Well, so far we know he's a tap dancer.
Yes.
people that are on Broadway tend to be singers and dancers. Not that they're all okay. But he breached into movies. Now, there's one movie, and this will probably give it away to anybody, but in the 80s, he did a movie that I absolutely fell in love with, and it was one of my favorite buddy action cop movies.
Okay.
It was co-starred with Billy Crystal.
Okay.
And they played a pair of cops. Okay.
Okay.
And it was such a. I'm not even gonna say the name of this movie until the end. So, because to me, it's a giveaway, mind you. Maybe if you've seen The White Knights, which is a movie, you might understand that.
Okay.
Or The Cotton Club.
No.
No. Waiting to Exhale. That was getting more popular, but
no.
That's a chick flick, so okay. I think. Renaissance Man.
Oh.
That's Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Okay. Wolfen.
No, don't know that one.
And outside of my favorite movie, History of the World by Mel Brooks. There's a lot of people in that one, so that was really not a lot of help.
That's not helpful, but I've...
But we know he was born in 46. We know he was born on Valentine's Day. We know he's predominantly known as a tap dancer, going to Broadway, and then ended up in films co-starring with people like Danny DeVito and Billy Crystal.
I
don't even know because you're a fair bit younger than me, so you might not.
I would probably recognize the face.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not going to remember the name off the top of my head.
When I saw that movie, I was just like, oh my God, I want to find him out in other movies. I want to see him because he had such great comedian,
yeah.
Comic timing. He had such a great duet with Billy Crystal. So, and I kept finding him and looking for other movies, and I found some, and then eventually, like, he passed away in 2003 from cancer. I think it was a liver cancer. But, and it was just like, oh, man, I wanted so much more out of him. I wanted so much more out of that kind of an action comedy type thing. And he just passed away.
Aww.
So, 2003, 46,
yeah.
56, 66, 76, 86, 96. So he was not even 60 yet, so he's in his 50s when he passed away. So
yeah, I guess. Sorry, yeah. I was mathing in my head, and the math did not math, and then it mathed.
Yeah. So, if you have any guesses, type in now and share it to other people in case they want to help you out.
I'm gonna need a lot of help.
So you comment and you share, and then you like. And at the end of this podcast, I'll let you know who it is.
Okay, good, because I'm going to be sitting here for a while trying to figure out who this is.
Oh, we know he's black, too.
Oh, he's black.
Well, I mean, I would assume that because he likes roles written for white actors. That would be really bad to be said if you're white. So
yeah. So, okay.
I prefer roles written for white fat men because they're much more dynamic and energy. Sorry. Okay, that was just stupid. Okay. Sorry.
That escalated quickly.
Yes. Well, you know what? It made Danielle laugh. It's not a big accomplishment, but if I can make one person laugh, then my day was made.
Well, then you just got to talk to me because it'll probably make me laugh.
Yeah. So there was my introduction for the today. See if you can figure that out. And we'll get Danielle and we'll get Ash. We'll get Kayleen to bring up some other ones. Maybe I'll throw in this Patrick Hicks. I actually contacted him.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to throw his in.
Perfect.
So he's got little 10-minute ones. So maybe I'll find some of his shorter ones and throw that in.
Nice. That'll be cool.
I got a handful of artists that influenced me heavily throughout the years. And this one here is really a deep cut.
Okay.
Like, he stands out so proud to in my memory.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, you know, go back in my time in those little weird nuance movies or performers or singers.
Yeah.
Or artists, you know.
Yeah.
And see where we go. And we'll try and show a different artist all the time.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I like that.
So topic of the day?
Topic of the day.
You know, we're going to go a little broad scope, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, we go a little broad scope with this one. We were talking about life management and passion.
Yes, there is a fly.
Sure. Okay. Don't worry, he'll be back.
It was something I was actually thinking about recently, is life management and pausing different aspects of my life.
You could do that?
Think or pause?
Pause. I know, yeah, okay. I'm not going to go anywhere. Pause! You can pause your life?
I can pause. I'd like to think I can pause different aspects of my life. It doesn't work very well, but I like to think I can, so that I can focus my energy to do other
things. You're not a little train engine, are you?
No, I'm not not quite. Not the little engine that could.
I think I can.
I love that story.
I know. It's just amazing what pops into your mind.
Yeah, love that story. Yes. I have 3 copies of that book. Don't judge.
You got 4 kids that are still under that age, so...
Yeah, so they each have their own book. They each have their own...
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah, anyway.
That's okay. Pausing. Because currently, I am a mother of 4. I have paused my career to raise my children. Because there was absolutely no way.
I got to interrupt again. Watching, what do they call that? Stalking on your Facebook profile, trying to pull up some pictures. And it's like, I swear to God, that was like the naughty nurse outfit or something or whatever. And it's just like, what? She was a nurse? I was like, but it looks like an outfit from the 70s.
Yeah, that was my graduation photo.
Okay, because you're not that old.
No, I wanted to have like that, because my great grandma was a nurse. So what I wanted for my pictures was to have like a similar dress to hers, the nursing cap and the flowers, and then I actually wore her watch for these photos.
Oh, wow. So
side by side, it's like her in her nursing uniform, and then me in a very similar nursing uniform.
Oh, so that was to honor your grandmother.
Yeah, my great-grandmother.
Great-grandmother.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then if you notice in the bouquet, there was one single yellow rose.
Oh, yeah, I totally caught that.
Yeah. That rose represents her, because that was her favorite color of rose.
Oh, wow. That's super cool. That's
So I used to be a nurse. So technically still am a nurse, but I'm just not practicing right now. I'm in a career pause to raise my family. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. The pauses that we take in our lives so that we can do our very best in what we do.
That's always an amazing thing nowadays, when you can do that.
Yeah.
Because I know as a kid growing up in the 70s, mom generally took a pause for the first couple kids.
Yeah.
And the only time I remember mom ever working was randomly on weekends at the we were as a military brat, so we lived on bases, so she'd work at the Canucks or at the movie place, and she'd sell hot dogs for, you know, 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
And that's all I ever know mom ever to work. She was in the military. She retired to raise her kids.
Yeah.
But that was back when when money meant something more.
Yeah.
And now money means something different.
Yeah. Well, so. Yeah, I feel very fortunate that my husband is able to work the job that he works, where that he makes enough money so that I can stay home to be with our kids.
And you drive a nice truck?
Yes. It's a decent truck.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Dodge or, you know, whatever.
It's his truck.
It's nicer than my truck.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
It's a nice truck. I like that truck. It's a tank to drive because I'm used to driving my little car.
No.
But, like, his truck is like a tank.
So you paused your life to raise your kids.
Yeah. Raising. I'm currently in my pause.
So, yeah, that's... That's a very, I don't know how to say that. That's a huge thing to do. How passionate were you to be a nurse?
I absolutely loved my job. It was probably, I would wake up and I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to work today. I'm gonna help some people. Like, I was very passionate about my job. I was very, like, I absolutely loved my job. My husband, he makes enough money. He is very content in his job, but he doesn't love his job. Like,
yeah.
I loved my job.
That is huge. That is a huge thing, because I know Kathy loves her job because it's peripheral to nursing. She's an essential worker.
Yeah.
She works at the Cameras Association for Community Living, but people need her. People,
yeah.
Those people don't take holidays.
Yeah.
Those people don't get to take COVID off.
Yeah, no.
You know, and neither do two nurses.
Yeah.
And to have that passion, and yet you chose to pause that passion ultimately for a different passion.
Yeah.
A different love.
Yeah, I absolutely love my kids, obviously. And I didn't want to put them in daycare. I didn't want them being raised by a babysitter. I wanted to raise my kids. If my job made more money than my husband's, he would have stayed home with the kids, but he makes way more money than I do.
So that's actually a good point. So that was a total option then.
Yeah.
Like, I personally would have loved to stay home and raise Logan too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know how unbalanced he would be. Anyway, you know, I'm all for it, you know.
Yeah. But like, it just financially, like, it was, he had to work.
Yeah. And, I'm just going to throw out questions here, any other reason, just to explore everything else. And, like, I know a lot of people that homeschool kids, and you and Emily.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people, and I have no issues whatsoever with it.
Yeah.
If you're capable and willing. But you've heard the term, it takes a village to raise a child.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
can you address that? Because you're taking the village out of it, aren't you?
I have built a village to... I've surrounded my children with families and people who have similar values to my family. And so, like, once a week, there's like four or five families, we get together, and one of the parents teach something. We call it co-op day, because we all get together and we cooperate together. And so, but like, it's not just, my kids are well socialized.
Okay, that's always been the question,
yeah.
Right? When Logan was we were raising Logan, we both had to work.
Yeah.
But we would, even on days that we didn't necessarily, we would be more than happy to send him off to his daycare,
yeah.
Day home. And now, mind you, we found a brilliant one. Marilyn and Lex were just awesome, incredible people.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. And they have all these kids that they took care of after school that still go back. I mean, Logan still thinks so highly of,
yeah.
You know, and that sort of thing. So, but that was our socializing, and we got there, and he was bullied by little girls, and then he was had girlfriends or he
yeah.
whatever it was,
yeah.
and it was that different dynamic and how to interact with weird people with
yeah.
different people.
Yeah.
Mind you, you know, your kids and your, I assume your family is all super well balanced. balanced and
for a whole lot of special.
It's a great idea. I love. I never thought of that about having that shared homeschooling type aspect.
So like it's not you're not putting the responsibility all on just yourself. Like you're opening up the world for different things. Like we had a tour of one of my friends' farms and how they raise their animals. And another day we learned how chicken gets to your table and the process of that and how the animals are cared for and all that fun stuff. And like it's so many, and like the anatomy of a chicken. I learned something. Yeah. I never knew that. I never knew how chickens didn't really have a stomach. They have like a thingy. I don't remember what it's called now.
Okay.
And like we're learning French. I'm relearning French. My kids are learning French. Ça va bien.
What? I took 6-7 years of it because you're forced to. And I'm from born New Brunswick, where it was like a bilingual province.
Yeah.
I can count. I can say some colors, and I can tabernacle, which is sorry for all of you French people out there swearing and
But yeah, my mom spoke French, but I haven't used it in years because
your mom speaks French.
That was her first language.
That's what I was going to say, because I was listening to her last night at rehearsal, and she definitely has an accent.
So
I never really thought about it, because your mom speaks in bursts.
Yes.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. She's fast and pulsating purse.
Yes.
So, hence the idea we're trying to make her a feral animal in her character, which we need her to snarl and growl constantly throughout the play.
But yeah, just, yeah. I love homeschooling. It's very simple in my mind.
You can eliminate the politics of what's going on today in that too. So I just would never trust myself to have the knowledge to and I know, but I realize you don't have to know it all.
No, because like I'm
to teach it all.
I'm learning with my kids. They're like, hey, we want to learn about ocean creatures. I was like, cool, let's go learn about ocean creatures. And like my son, he can list off like 100 facts about the octopus.
Okay.
Yeah. And like he's just super thrilled, and like he's like, I love octopus, like they're the coolest thing ever. And like he'll just like list off like they've got like 3 hearts, and they have like different brains for different things, and their brains are in a circle and through their mantle. And like he'll just list all these things off, and it's like, oh,
cool.
You do retain the information that we go through.
Yes, and when he grows up and he's an octopusologist.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of a work schedule that is in Alberta here, but that's all.
He could travel the world, and like there's so many successful people that have been homeschooled.
Oh yeah, like who?
Simone Biles, the Olympian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Outside of being, well, athletes like her, like that, that's a very different world. When you are a world-class gymnast and all that, I mean, I have no idea who she is other than she's married, she's that tall, and she's incredibly talented when it comes to gymnastics, like gold medal. Isn't she one of the most gold medalist earners?
Yeah, but she was also homeschooled, so homeschooling allowed her to follow her passions.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Yeah. A lot of ballet dancers, like professional ballet dancers, they homeschool.
Yeah.
Because it gives them the time to do their ballet practicing for like 8 hours a day, and then they spend 2 hours doing book work.
Yeah. And then I suppose you can do your schooling at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Do an hour
or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You can do it whenever.
Yeah. No, that's...
Schedule is super flexible.
Do you think you have a Simone Biles in your...
I don't know.
A little early to tell?
It's a little early to tell. Yeah. I don't... Maybe my feral one. She really likes to tumble around and jump around and somersault and...
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what she decides to do with her life. But yeah. Pausing. Pausing my life to homeschool my children.
Yeah, you know, I wish I need to get a hold of pausing parts of my life.
Yeah.
I am so much, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to be a part of everything.
Yeah.
I'm going to organize, I'm going to produce this show, but I want to be in it too. And what I've done is I've set myself into a world where I do a lot of things mediocre.
Yeah.
And I've got to pull back, and I've got to pause things and get back to doing the things I love
yep.
the most very well.
Yes. Yes, that is... It's a lot to learn.
I
still kind of suck at it.
At what?
Pausing my life. Because oh. I'm gonna do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And then I'm doing all these things because I'm a yes person. And... then, I don't know, can't make supper because I'm too exhausted. And then I just order pizza.
Pizza's not bad. There's nothing wrong with pizza.
Nothing's Pizza's wrong with good. Pizza. But when you're having it every single day for a week.
That's true. Skip
the
dishes.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
So just being able to remember that... yes, it's fun to be able to do everything, but you can't do everything.
So in your life right now, obviously you're still raising your four kids.
Yep.
You're the wife to a guy in a band.
Yep.
You're now a podcast co-host.
Yep.
And you've done theater for us.
Yes.
So where's your future and the passion goes?
Where do you think I'm...
Where do you want... So you've dabbled your toes into the acting world. We know you've enjoyed that with Shakespeare and your prostitution ring. on stage.
Yeah, only on stage.
and that sort of thing. So where... You're looking into 5 years as the kids grow older and you get more freedom. And where do you want to go?
I would like to think I would like... to get back into healthcare, but I'm not sure. We'll see. I would like to do more acting, like small acting. I really enjoyed that. I've really enjoyed Shakespeare in the Park. Love that. Want to do more of that. But really, what I wanted, I don't know. I want to inspire people. That's kind of where I'm at in my life. So,
and I think that's an actually interesting thing, because that one struck me just right this second as you said it. Inspire people. I mean, if I look back, I want to do this. Ooh, I love the applause. I want to get the accolades, and I want this and I want that. And as I get older, the wisdom kind of sets in, and it's just like, I want to inspire. I want to evoke emotions. I want to, and I get caught up on stage because everybody loves to act, right? You know, and we're out there, and we all just want to do our thing and get out there and just, you know, and get the applause, and then you start looking at yourself, and it's just like, I want them to think of something. I want them to be inspired. I want their emotions.
Yeah.
And then I start thinking, well, there's other ways to do that. Like right now, I feel like this podcast is something that we could really inspire people.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I got to mention this, too. I've had a couple people on the podcast that wrote into us or sent us messages. One, I told the guy, can't remember his name, sorry, dyslexia does that. Anyway, he talked about the idea of what he's done. He's had some serious loss in his life, and it was the art that he found. I believe it was in movie. He's done some commercials.
Oh, was this that Jeff?
Jeff something.
Oh, I can't remember his name now.
Yes, but he contacted us and said, I think, you know, somebody like him would be great to have an interview with.
Yeah.
And we talk about how he's overcoming it.
Yeah.
And how he's dealing with that.
Yeah.
And then we had another one drop a message, another lady, and I can't remember her name. Again, this is the... this is the thing.
Yeah.
So, and she talked about how she had a medical traumatic situation, and they gave her an art creative device,
yeah,
or whatever, because she had to learn her left hand.
Yeah.
And as that helped her out and she actually became more competent with her left hand, she got better, but now she still does it and she continues on with that same art form.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
So I know it's a little deviation from pausing, but I think that's what this podcast could potentially be for. Shh. Don't tap the table.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do in 5 years, but I would like to be able to inspire people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope to do the same thing too. And next year I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to pause some of my life. I'm going to pause all my theatrical endeavors and focus on a couple.
Yeah.
So anybody out there that wants to put on a dinner theater for the Bailey Theater through us, come see me. It's next October. Well, you know, you can do that because I got to take a break. I really hope Emily decides that she's going to work on the Shakespeare.
I guess we'll see.
She's talking about directing that.
That would be wicked.
Then all of a sudden, I have the freedom to just be an actor, just be nothing.
Yeah.
Take my wife camping a little bit.
You can enjoy your pause while you go camping. See? Pausing is important. Because then you can focus on other important things in your life.
Yes, but I'll be paused like this, looking for it to come. And that's the importance of having a wonderful spouse that understands your anxieties.
Also, like, it doesn't have to be like a big pause in your life, like a career pause. My husband and I, we are going through our entire house, and he's a very all or nothing type person.
Oh, okay.
He's like, we're gonna get this all done in one day. I was like,
I understand that. Yes.
This is our house we're talking about.
If I don't finish the project in one day, it might not ever get.
Yeah, done. But so like it's honestly it's taken us a month because we have 4 kids.
Yeah.
I get easily distracted. And I can't go 8 hours of my day going through everything. I can't do it. I can't. I need to pause. I need to take a break. And I need to feel sad for a moment because I'm getting rid of a lot of stuff. And a lot of it is meaningless. Like, a lot of it is just...
Oh, is it meaningless?
A lot of it, it's like a piece of paper that I got in grade 2 that I have no idea who I got it from. Like, there's no more value to it sentimentally to me.
The value is already imprinted on you, and that made you in grade 3, grade 4, grade 5.
Yeah, grade, and now I'm 33. I have to think about that. And it has no more meaning to me anymore. I've held on to this piece of paper.
Oh, man, that's another story, too. Sentimental value on objects. I'll tell you a COVID story on that one. That's a great one, too. Because you're right. You're absolutely right. And we as people, and some people are worse than others, and we attach this emotional, sentimental value to things. So my dad was a military man. He was in for 25 years. And he had this old machete he had got. Yeah. It's Korean, and it's... He got it from somebody that was in the wars or whatever it was. I don't know the story.
Yeah.
But my dad had it. He had it in his for whatever. And my dad passed away several years ago. And I think that was in 2009.
Yeah.
And I remember collecting this thing, and it was like, this is my dad's machete.
Yeah.
I've got a few things that I got. I got the Old Spice the tower, the the lighthouse.
Okay.
I have one of those. I refuse to part with. I've got the machete. I've got my dad's watch. I've got a handful of things.
Yeah.
And come come COVID, and I use this machete all the time. I've actually cleaned it up, sharpened it up. You could have shaved with this thing, which is not necessarily good for a machete. Or you. So,
right.
You know. Okay. I wouldn't do a Brazilian with it or anything like that. You know. Steady hands. Okay.
Oh, man.
We're going to have to put explicit on this episode,
too. I think so.
Anyway, so, you know, COVID hit and I got laid off. Half the majority of the world got laid off.
Yeah.
And I got stuck and I went down the YouTube rabbit hole of the cabal and all this weird shit that's happening in the world today, and mental health actually showed up and said, yeah, I'm real, dude. What? Fuck. I thought we left you back in the 80s, and apparently not. So nope. So I learned a lot of things, and I was out there learning the guitar and cleaning up the shed, found my dad. My son bought an old cheap machete and this and that, and all of a sudden, one day, I couldn't find the machete. And I know my son, he loves fires in the backyard.
Yeah.
So he'll be back there, and we don't use axes. Axes
are for
pussies, you know. And machete. And, you know, man, make fire. And so anyway, I was looking for my machete, and I usually keep in my trailer. Wasn't in my trailer.
Yeah.
Wasn't in the shed. I looked all over, and I got so angry, because I know Logan had left it out or took it somewhere. He used it for a film.
Yeah.
And I was so angry. And I was so pissed off. And I actually made a thing about it. A TikTok.
Yeah.
I started TikTok documenting playing guitar. And I got to thinking one day, it's a machete.
Yeah.
It's not my dad. It's not a part of my dad. It's not the ashes. It's not anything. It's just a machete that reminds me of what I already know.
Yeah.
So I realized deep down inside that we attach these emotional values as if that item is them.
Yeah.
And it's not fair to it or to you to necessarily do that. Maybe some people have to do it, but I have my pictures and I have my watch and I have all that stuff. But that's to say, if all that stuff went away, I'd forget who my dad was. And that'll never happen.
No.
I mean, you know, my dad was my dad. He was, there was, you know, we talk about heroes in life. There's my dad, Terry Fox, Rick Hansen, real people that are real heroes. And they were all underneath my dad.
Yeah.
Because my dad was who he was.
Yeah.
And I went back on TikTok and I told that story. And I quickly, you know, I don't want to say forgave my son. It's not like I really, but you know, it was just like it was a terrible thing for me to get angry on somebody for that inanimate object. So.
Yeah, like, because it's, I have literally moved. We've moved. I don't know how many times, and I've kept all like my treasures with me. And like it was this year, this last month, that I was like, okay, I am ready to part with these things now. I had a filing cabinet, like a big filing cabinet full of treasures and like cards and just little notes of various different things. And like I went through all of them. Okay, I don't need this birthday card.
Sorry, no, I'll tell you later.
Okay, I don't need this birthday card that I received from someone who I don't even know who they are when I was one.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't need this. And then I emptied a filing cabinet. I emptied like a big Rubbermaid bin of, actually, like there was a surprising amount of stuff that came out of our house that was no longer a treasure. It was no longer had sentimental value. It literally brought me stress. And as Marie Kondo, however you pronounce her name, the organizer lady, if it doesn't bring you joy, don't keep it. So I got rid of a lot of stuff. And my craft room is phenomenal. I actually have crafting space now.
Have you ever seen my craft room?
No, I have not.
Oh, you got to come check out that craft room.
My craft room is great now. And
my craft room is great.
It's yours is probably better than mine. Our school area where I do all my homeschooling, it's actually manageable now. It's super simple to use. My kitchen. My husband reorganized my kitchen because I really like kitchen gadgets. I had a...
Oh my God, we're going to be here all day if you keep bringing up things I could tell stories about.
But I put a pause on to organize my house. I put a pause on a lot of different things so I could clean my house and organize my house and get rid of stuff so that I can actually do the things that I enjoy.
Okay.
Also, I can't do all this all at once. I mentally can't handle it. My husband, he could do it nonstop, and it would bring him a lot of joy. But I can't do that. So there'd be a couple days where you'd be I need to pause. I can't do this. I'm stressed out. I need to just sit and cry and crochet or knit or craft. I need to do something that's not this. I need a pause, and then I can get back.
For me, it's film movie editing now. I can sit there and watch TV and I gotta go back and my cringy face.
Okay.
You said treasures from the past, and I instinctively thought of some of the mixtapes I made in the 80s for girls that I had met at the transition point in cadets, where we would meet for 8 hours and then and never see her again.
Yeah.
But she was a redhead, and she was cute, and she gave me her address.
Did you never write to her?
Yeah, I sent her a tape, and I recorded over all the names, and I inserted her name. You know how hard that is on a cassette?
That is very hard.
Yes, and it's just oh, man. Then you run into him, 2 years later, and she's like... Oh, God, I know who you are. So I have these flashbacks every now and then. It's just God, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that machete, I'd put it up top, and I found it.
Had put it away.
I had put it away, stuck it on top so that Logan wouldn't, and I found it later on.
But, back on, sentimental treasures, my grandma had given me, these treasure boxes. It was made by her uncle when he was in Bermuda for some kind of army thing. He had made treasure boxes for her and her sister, and for whatever reason, I ended up with them.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know what to do with these, because I opened them up and was like, this is a piece of cake from so-and-so's wedding, and I was just okay. But it was they made sugar. Apparently this was a thing. If you couldn't make it to the wedding, they would send you a piece of the cake.
Oh yeah.
So I have a piece of someone's wedding cake.
That's a hard catch.
Yeah. And so I phoned up my dad and was like, what do I do with this? He's like, well, I have no value in it. Do you have value in it? I said, no.
Can you rehydrate it and eat it?
I would not even want to.
Okay.
But it was rock hard, but it was just, my dad came over and he just started laughing. He's like, this is, why do you have this? I don't know. And it went through all my moves, and it was a box that I put it in, and I never opened it up again, and it's just, I have a random treasure box from Bermuda by my great, great uncle.
Bermuda.
It says Bermuda on it.
Oh, okay. Is that, where's Bermuda? It's like that South Pacific?
Yes.
Where's the triangle? Where's the Bermuda Triangle?
In the middle of the ocean. The Pacific Ocean.
Yeah. No. On that note.
But it's just, so I don't have this treasure box that was made for someone else by someone else. I don't have it anymore because it has no value to me, unfortunately.
So I think if we kind of wrap that around, is make sure what you do have has real value.
Yeah.
And free yourself of those who just have perceived value.
Yeah.
Is that a fair way to say that?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
and then it will make life so much simpler.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have, like, oh my goodness, I am so happy with how my house looks so far. I'm not finished, but I'm getting there.
Yeah, that's good. So I think I forgot we're on video. They just saw me write down 43. We're at 43 minutes, which is like still the high end. I will have to see what we do. But if we keep having these wonderful conversations. Oh, before we go, can we have an awkward pause?
Can you tell me who that person was?
Who?
At the beginning, you talked about an actor.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. Oh, that was a good awkward pause. I like that. Actually, you know, it was really nice. We'll have to do that again sometime. You know, that's a great idea. I think we'll bring that down. So this guy, we talked about it. I'll give you my last clue before I tell you his name. Running Scared with Billy Crystal.
Oh!
It's the 80s. You almost might have known it.
I almost might have known it.
Running Scared.
Running Scared.
New York buddy cop film.
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember
his name. Tap dancer. Lean, skinny, black.
Black.
His middle name was Oliver.
Oh, man.
He reminds you of a table sauce you put on hot dogs, but it's a brand name.
Ketchup?
Heinz.
Heinz.
No?
No.
Gregory Heinz.
Gregory Heinz.
Gregory Heinz.
I would know his face.
You might, like I say, if you're Gen Xers will probably catch it, even, you know, a little older than that. He was a fantastic performer in all aspects, and I loved him in Running Scared. And when I thought of that, that was like that moment in time. He's never really done a whole lot that drew me in.
Yeah.
Or I should say that drew me in so hard. That was that moment in my life that was an awesome movie.
Yeah.
And you felt the friendship, you felt that bond, and that family is how you make them, or how they make you feel.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with what's the blood and the blood is thicker than water. Did we talk about that one? Blood is thicker than water. The real phrase is that you choose your family.
Yeah, something about like
the
blood of the
covenant is thicker than the water of the womb.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you join the covenant. Of course, it's, you know, paganism and witches or whatever, but that's fine. You choose to be there, but the water of the womb, you don't choose to be there. And I think it's wonderful if you can be your best friends and family with your siblings. Not denying that, but that's what it is. It's who you surround you with and who you choose.
Exactly.
Yes. So we should have like a blood oath.
No.
Well, that's right. You wouldn't even put my earbud in your ear. So.
I would not.
So you don't want my earwax? You certainly don't want my blood.
No, I learned the hard way not to share earbuds.
But what do you share?
Popsicles?
Or podcasts?
Podcasts?
You share podcasts and you share comments?
I do.
And you like?
share and subscribe.
Yeah, share, subscribe. Our channel is Raging Imagination. No.
Raging Imagination.
That's our podcast, Raging Imagination. Our channel on YouTube is Raging Imagineers.
Oh.
That's right.
Yes, Raging Imagineers.
Yeah.
We have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram. We are on TikTok. Spotify.
YouTube. Oh, iHeartRadio. We just hooked up with them.
Oh, wicked. iHeartRadio.
iHeart's really good. I really like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're on Samsung podcast?
Samsung. Probably we're on the majority of streaming devices. Kay. Amazon Music.
Yes.
So check us out. Again, you know what? I'm going to do a shout out. We got somebody in Ashburn, Washington.
Ooh.
I don't know who you are, but thanks. You've watched all three episodes.
Thank you.
So that's awesome. We have somebody in Kathmandu that has also watched or listened to all three. Cool. If I spoke Kathmandu, I'd, or Nepal. It's from Nepal.
I don't know.
And then, you know, everybody in Leduc, Camrose, Calgary, Edmonton, everybody that's been listening to us, thank you. We appreciate that. I know we're small time still, but with your help, we can have some fun and share some stories.
Yeah.
Get some other stories in here. I got a whole list of people we want to have on our as guests.
Yes.
On here. We miss you, Ash and Kayleen. They're still missing again. So, thank you to the Bailey Theater. Thank you to Simon. Thanks to everybody that's helping us out here. Thanks to everybody that's helped supported Infinite Imagination and everything that we do. It is now about helping you. And
we want to inspire.
Inspire.
I don't know what we're going to inspire you in, but... might be something.
Yes, anything. If we inspire somebody to do something, whether it's kitchen gadgets or machetes or awkward pauses.
Or just sharing a story. Or, yeah, art. Art in general.
Art in general. Send us, you know what? Here's another thing. We also have an email, ragingimagination@gmail.com. Send us stories. Send us some stories that really inspire you or that have pulled you out of a dark spot or helped you from going into dark spots. Send us a story, and we'll keep it completely anonymous, and we'll tell some of these stories.
Yeah. And maybe it'll inspire someone else.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you all. Have a good evening.